Welcome back to the Villain Edit. I am Monty Ashley.
I'm Ryus Hall.
Hi, Ryus.
Hi, Monty.
Watch any television?
No, I never watch television.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be a pretty weak episode, I'm afraid.
I like how I don't have a television used to be snooty, like, oh, I'm above such things. Now it just means somebody watches everything on their computer.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't watch television shows, but I do spend all day watching Crazy Frog videos.
Crazy Frog? Who's Crazy Frog?
Oh, honey. Crazy Frog is a horrifying creature from like 10 years ago who was mostly famous for doing ringtone songs.
Oh, that guy. Oh, you're right. I remember him now.
He has full-length videos with plots.
Oh, Crazy Frog. Well, I'm glad that Crazy Frog has gone on to have a career.
Oh, no, he hasn't. These are all from back in the day.
This is just a roller coaster ride of emotion for me. First of all, I didn't know who Crazy Frog was. Now I hear he's a superstar. Now I hear everyone's forgotten him and he lies in his grave.
Yep, maybe he'll be on a celebrity-themed reality show season at some point. I think he would get thrown out of Big Brother immediately. He is extremely annoying.
The Surreal Life?
Ooh, if they bring back The Surreal Life, he'd be... Oh, actually, no. He could be on Drawn Together.
I guess so, yeah.
Well, that's an animated reality show.
Yeah, sure, he is a cartoon frog.
And speaking of cartoon frogs, how about Fortune Fire?
What?
I was hoping
that was not the smooth segue that you were hoping for, my love.
I disagree. I think it was very smooth, and if you hadn't called attention to its complete lack of internal or any sort of logic, I think it would have gone fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you're suggesting Fortune Fire doesn't have cartoon frogs?
No, it does not. But it does have a special challenge this week where it's all people who are fans of the shows who haven't been forging knives for that long.
Yeah, it was the rookie challenge because the previous week it was all mastersmiths and right. They're boring and good at stuff.
Yeah, so this was rookie challenge and they were not good at stuff. I mean, some of them were. They had all been forging knives for a couple years. So they all basically, they knew the basics. They knew more about forging a knife than I do.
Yeah.
But less than the master people who were on last week's.
So it was fun seeing people make, not even make mistakes we would make, not know things that we also don't know.
Right.
Like, forge welding is difficult for mastersmiths on the show, and seeing somebody who doesn't know how to do it lets us know just how...
It's difficult for everyone, apparently.
Yeah. And they ended up making these swords that chopped right through stuff.
Oh, yeah, this sword chopped really well through stuff.
And,
they were kind of, I guess you'd call them a little triangular-ish.
Yeah, kind of, they described them as a parallel blade, but it actually kind of flared out towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And that meant that the losing blade was slightly heavier. So, I'm really happy Fortune Fire is back. I think it is a super fun television show.
Unless you are a pig.
Yeah.
In which case, you're going to get chopped in half.
Yeah. So Doug Marqueta is obviously like the breakout star of the show. He's the one with the catchphrase.
Sure, yeah.
They still hold him back until the final test a lot of the time. Like, he'll be there, he'll comment on a knife, but it's not really the Doug Marqueta show.
No.
Especially because he's still injured, apparently, at the time
of
this
shooting. He is still injured, but last week he was still in the sling. This current week, he was out of the sling, but he still had his brother come in and swing the sword.
No,
around.
It wasn't his brother this time. It was some other guy.
Oh.
That's what counts for drama on Fortune Fire.
Well, so, it's not a high drama show.
Some other guy came out and said nothing.
It's not a high drama show unless someone quenches in water, in which case, oh my God,
heavens,
what are you doing, you madman?
I just started reading Fred Saberhagen's Book of Swords.
Uh-huh.
That's a classic book of fantasy.
Swords and Sorcery, I believe, is the genre title.
It's pretty boring, so I don't think I'm going to finish it. But it starts off saying that Vulcan made these 12 swords that all have super magical powers.
Uh-huh.
And he needs to quench them in human blood.
Oh, well, first off, that's not going to work.
No.
And it's going to be really stinky.
Yeah, and you have to...
I don't think that's a good thing to quench your sword in. You got to quench it in some kind of oil.
It's not clear yet, as far as I am in the book, whether he quenches, like, in a big a vat of
like
blood.
Like a vat of blood, I guess, would work better.
If it's cooled down. Or is he just stabbing them into a person, which is not going to cool the metal fast enough or consistently.
Or consistently, you're going to get spots in your metal that are softer than others because they, cooled slower, faster.
Yeah, so I don't know, Fred Saberhagen. I think you might be,
Look, his last name has Saber in it. Obviously, he knows what
he's
doing.
All right, fair enough. Glammasters.
Glammasters!
So we're a few episodes into this show. What do you think of it?
Well, you know, it is an elimination show in three rounds, and it's people who put makeup on themselves and others.
Yeah.
It's
in one of these episodes, there was a clear break between the makeup artist and the beauty influencers. The makeup artist said, "What even is a beauty influencer?" and was sent home.
I myself have asked that question, but I am at home, so yeah. I'm ahead of the game.
Joke's on you. I would like it if they had an actual challenge of influencing beauty, like each of you are given a crazy trend to try to start.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so it's a bunch of people who are very popular for doing makeup tutorials on YouTube, which I've watched some makeup tutorials and attempted to do them, and I am not a beauty influencer. The results are often hilarious.
They're hypnotic, though. The makeup tutorials that just don't have any words in them.
Oh, yeah. There's a thing on the Amazon called Cosmo Queens, and there's just like a 3-minute video with no dialogue of a drag queen putting on all their makeup. And I guess you're supposed to learn how to do the makeup. I don't know. It's very hypnotic and calming for some reason.
And watching for the moment they cross the line from, you're putting on clown makeup to, oh, no, you look great now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always that one moment. You're like, what? Was it just the false eyelashes? Is that what did that? Yeah, I enjoy that show. But it's probably online. It's done by Cosmopolitan Magazine. It's just called Cosmo Queens.
So on Glammasters, we've watched two episodes since our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad to see that Laverne Cox stopped saying Hennies to everybody. That was a huge improvement.
Yes.
She is speaking very haughtily a lot of the time.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like she's doing a RuPaul impression.
I think she's just nervous.
But I think she might just be nervous. She's not hosted a reality show before.
Yeah, and it's the more heavily scripted things when she starts falling into this very rhythmic way of speaking.
Yeah, which is fine. She'll get used to it.
Now, there are two things I liked about the last two episodes. The one 2 weeks ago, or last week, or something, that was the one that finished with the two people having to perform makeup on each other.
That was a fun challenge.
Because they traded off every 30 minutes, and if you're any sort of good makeup artist, you build a rapport with the person in the chair.
Right, but you can't build too much of a rapport because they are your enemy. They're trying to do your makeup to beat the makeup you're putting on them. It was like a Mobius strip.
Yeah, but
that cleans your pores.
I felt like the competitiveness kind of washed away. Like, it's hard to be really, really think of this other person as your enemy when the first thing you do is give them a 5-minute face massage.
Yeah.
So that one was won by Glamzilla, who is somebody who came in with a lot of air horn noises.
Oh, yeah, she was noisy.
But then she settled down and I loved her.
Yeah, once she calmed down and stopped being, I'm a huge personality, I liked her a lot more.
And then this most recent episode, everybody had a tragic backstory.
Oh yeah, there was cancer lady, dead father lady.
Yeah, it was like that. And I don't think if it's a really good makeup job, I don't have to be told the backstory of the makeup artist.
Yeah, I don't want the backstory of the makeup artist. What I want to do is I want them to say, make that person look like a duck or whatever. And then they compete
to do that.
Just a duck. Yep. Every week it's a duck.
Yep. Turns out the show
And see them compete to do it. And like the challenges were like, oh, do a pop art inspired challenge. Do a rainbow on someone, or use all the colors of the rainbow in your makeup.
Yeah, but make sure it doesn't look too much like face paint, or like a clown, or like a costume. Like, man.
Yeah.
What do you want? Weird or not?
Yeah.
So
it's a fun little show. I'm willing to keep watching it because they're going to have a finale where all the people who win come back and play against each other. And I'm okay with that.
Yep. And, you know, we're going to get to the other shows we watched, which, of course, includes the Drag Race All-Stars.
Drag Race All-Stars.
But first, this is the time of year when we remind you about how you can support this podcast.
What? You can support this podcast?
You can, by becoming a member of The Incomparable. You can sign up for a monthly or annual pledge to support this podcast directly. Here's what you do. Go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up.
Is it that easy?
It's just that simple. Theincomparable.com/members. You'll be asked to pick the shows on the network you'd like to support. And if you just check the box for the villain edit, your entire contribution will come to us after a few fees are taken out.
We love you and we love your contributions.
We do. If you listen to other podcasts on the Incomparable Network, you can also check their boxes and your contribution will be shared equally by all the shows you want to support. And as a thank you for supporting us, besides this right now, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Members receive lots of extras. There's exclusive bonus audio, a bootleg podcast where you can see episodes of shows right after their recording without having to wait for the edited version to arrive. That matters most for the game show episodes.
Right, because we don't really edit this that much.
But, like, there's a recent episode of Low Definition, the word game show that Steve Letts hosts, and I'm on that. And the unedited version has a lot more goofiness, and about an hour or so is taken out for the edited version.
Oh, that's where you've been.
Yes. This whole last week I've been...
You're goofing off for an hour in the other room and I didn't even know.
And there's also a members-only community on Slack where you can hang out with other fans of the Incomparable podcasts. And since this is pledge season, this month many of the shows on the network will be posting bonus episodes just for members.
We're doing a bonus episode.
Yep. We did one last year. You remember what it was about?
Bones?
I was going to ask if you meant bones, the things in our body.
The one we did last year was actually about the history of reality shows.
Yes, we talked about An American Family, the Loud family.
Yes.
Kind of the original reality show.
And then we talked about a really terrible play for today, which was supposed to have been a precursor for reality show.
That
but it was
BBC
terrible.
Thing.
So this year, I think our special bonus episode, am I allowed to say
it?
Never mind.
There will be one.
And it'll be secret.
There are contribution levels at $5, $10, and $20 per month, and annual equivalents are available as well. And if you're already a member, it's easy to increase your pledge to a higher level and get some special goodies in return.
Increase your pledge.
The goodies are really cool. There was a really neat pin that people got this last year.
Oh.
So
I didn't get one.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I wear it all the time.
So, if you'd like to support us, go to theincomparable.com/members to sign up. And thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Ink Master?
We just watched that mere moments ago.
Yeah.
They had to draw some octopus and some Pegasus and a jaguar.
Yeah. This show is all about shouting at people. And the problem is that the two most annoying people, Josh and Daniel, are also two of the most talented, so they're around forever.
Right, so they're not going to get eliminated. They're just going to stay around and be annoying forever.
Daniel seems to be very good at line work, middling at everything else, and extremely dumb.
He is.
Last week, he bragged about not knowing what a stethoscope is. Bragged. Not just, I don't know what that is, but what am I supposed to know what a stethoscope is?
He couldn't pronounce stethoscope. Also, isn't he the guy who said, well, when I draw them, pixels are round?
Yep, he is.
Because he did not know they were supposed to be square, that they're an actual thing.
The Paramount Network, which is what Ink Master is on now.
Ooh, very classy.
Used to be Spike. They have these little, like, 10-15 second clips in the middle of commercial breaks that they run to try to trick you into watching commercials. And in that episode, it was just Daniel failing to be able to pronounce strategic or mythological.
Yeah.
That's a sign that the producers of this show really hate this kid.
Yeah.
Like, you could cover that up, or you could show it to everybody and highlight it.
Look, he's good at tattooing, and he used to live in his car, so he's from circumstances.
Yep. And this week, the watchword was accuracy, which is one of those words that they don't have enough meaningful themes.
No. But, now, accuracy, I would think, if you're doing an accurate tattoo, you are given a photograph and you are told to put that on someone and make it look just like the photo. That's how I would test accuracy.
But in this challenge, there were several times where people said, well, that's what it looked like in my photo reference. And the judges said, I don't care, you got to change that.
Yes.
First they did all three teams did octopuses, and I pretty much liked all three.
They all had 8 tentacles.
Yep. Well, we couldn't tell. One of them was in a jar.
Oh, and people were so angry about that, because how can we tell if the octopus is accurate when he's in a jar?
Well,
octopus love to be in jars.
Yeah, and octopuses are pretty squashy, so...
But yeah, they did lose that challenge because it was not a tattoo a picture of a jar challenge.
And then there was a... then the two teams had to do Pegasuses, of which there was one good Pegasus and one bad Pegasus.
The bad one was really bad, though. It looked like something I would have drawn on my folder in 8th grade.
Yeah, all four...
And I am not a Pegasus drawer.
All four horse legs were wrong. The wings looked peculiar and didn't attach to it. It reminded me of D&D fanzines in the 1980s.
It did have a fanzine quality to it.
Like if it had had a hand-lettered, The Dice Bag, issue 3.
It very much looked like something. Yeah, it was an 8th grader's drawing of a Pegasus.
And then the bottom team, the three people had to do Jaguars.
Right. The people who did the folder art Pegasus.
Yep.
Then had to do a three-person challenge to see who could do the best Jaguar. The answer was really none of them.
Yeah.
None of them.
The Jaguars were poor. And then one of them went home. The end.
Yeah.
And Josh and Daniel are still there and will probably continue to be there.
Although I do feel like I owe some of the tattooers an apology for making fun of them, because I did look up a lot of pictures of jaguars, and first off, they're really cute. Second off, their legs are shaped weirdly.
Yeah, that's true.
But nonetheless, those were bad tattoos, guys. Come on.
Those horse legs on the Pegasus were authentically zabbly, though.
They were zabbly, yeah. They looked like they didn't have bones in them.
Yeah.
Just kind of flopping around there. Maybe it was the rare rubber-legged Pegasus who can never land.
Yeah, it's a future Pegasus. It still has vestigial legs, but no leg bones in them.
Yeah, could be.
As it flies above you, the legs kind of flop in a very unsettling fashion.
But those cook up real nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have left Project Runway and Drag Race. I have no notes on Project Runway. I know Helen went home.
Helen went home on Project Runway. It was a challenge to make stage wear, and they were given genres that they had to make clothes for.
Pop, country, and rock.
Pop, country, and rock. The rock one, at least people seemed to know what it was. The difference between pop and rock, I'm not all that clear on, and... Then, when they would play samples of the country music, it all sounded like rock music to me, because it was all electric guitars. It was very confusing for me.
And we were relying on the Hard Rock Cafe to be the arbiter of something.
Yeah. Whoever wins this challenge gets to design a t-shirt for Hard Rock Cafe. Woo!
We were told they're an arbiter of fashion or something. All right, let's get to Drag Race.
You mean RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 3?
I think I actually mean RuPaul's All-Star Drag Race Season 3. I think it goes in that order.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of a completely different show. Right. I'm so sorry. Well, this week was the finale.
Finale. Last week, Morgan went home, having just been brought back.
Yeah, Morgan came onto the show and left, like a beautiful summery gust of air.
Sorry.
Or like you'd expect.
So, in the finale... There was something I really liked, which was a one-shot dance, big choreographed number from the loading dock all the way to the stage.
Right. It's all filmed in one take as you go, starts off on the loading dock, goes to the south stage. Oh, I'm so sorry. All of the eliminated queens are background dancers who they go past at some point.
We passed the judges getting ready. It was fun and kinetic. and reminded me of a really good opening to a So You Think You Can Dance finale a couple seasons ago that I really liked a lot.
Yeah, everybody says that the So You Think You Can Dance number was amazing.
It was so good. To be fair, that had dance prodigies.
Yeah, and this had drag queens.
Which, some of them can dance. Kennedy can dance, Shangela can dance.
Yeah.
BB, they choreographed around her.
They made BB sit at a table, behind a table, so you couldn't even see her. And then she stood up and posed a little.
Yep.
They had tried during the rehearsals, you saw them trying to get BB to dance, and not her thing.
Yeah. So, the big reveal was that the eliminated queens came back and selected two people out of the four remaining to be in the top two. And although many people at home felt that Shangela had done the best this season,
I certainly felt like Shangela deserved to be in the top two.
The eliminated queens picked Kennedy and Trixie. And Kennedy, it seemed, basically on the strength of a really good speech that she described. Apparently that's something you do when you're a pageant queen. Is you go to the jury and you say, here's why I should
win. Right. Basically, the jury interviewed each of the girls before making their decision.
And I don't know. I really
like Kennedy. Yeah, and Kennedy was like, I'm from the pageant scene. I've done this a million times. Her interview was great.
Argued that certain queens, Shangela and Trixie, don't need to win this because they already have thriving non-drag race specific careers. And Kennedy, a couple weeks ago, told a really sad story about how at DragCon, there's huge lines for everybody, and then people think about going over to Kennedy. Now, obviously, that's going to change, because Kennedy has really used the spotlight.
Yeah, but I don't feel like Kennedy deserved to be in the top.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way.
She was in the bottom, like, four times.
Yep.
I mean, she's great, but in this competition, I think that if they had been judged by the judges who had seen her every episode rather than by the queens who were judging more on what they knew about her as a person, I don't think she would have been in the top two.
Yeah. Like, Thorgy hasn't missed weeks of the competition. Yeah. So that left it as Kennedy versus Trixie for the final lip sync. The lip sync was to Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball, which is a song I like very much. And I thought Trixie killed it. She was giving emotion, like feeling the song, and Kennedy was throwing in a lot of acrobatics. There was one point where Trixie is on her knees, stage center, right in the middle of the spotlight, giving it her all, and you see Kennedy cartwheeling past in the background.
I actually loved that shot. It made me laugh so much.
Kennedy
didn't wear heels either. She was barefoot, doing interpretive dance.
It looked to me like Kennedy had made herself Trixie's background dancer.
Not what you want when you're in the finale for a show.
So then Rue picked the winner, and it was Trixie. And some people were very angry, feeling that Shangela should have won, or even feeling that Kennedy should have beaten Trixie, I guess some people thought. People didn't like this season, generally,
internet. This season was much more about drama than about competition.
Yep, and Ben tried to avoid the drama, and of course made the biggest dramatic thing of the entire season. Here's my thing. I think if you have an all-star season, and being in it is so unpleasant that the runaway front runner who wins all the challenges would rather quit than keep going for a great shot at $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
You need to change your show so it's not so awful to be on.
Yeah.
Like, if that isn't you're having to bribe people to stay on the show.
Yeah.
And I like seeing people have fun.
Yeah.
But having said that, I am proud to report that in our preseason picks, I went with Trixie to take it all, and she did win. Now, I had Kennedy to go home first, and Kennedy was in the final. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that I'm super glad that Trixie won, because I really like Trixie. I love the Trixie and Katya show.
Even with Bob the Drag Queen.
Even now that Katya has gone away and Bob the Drag Queen is there, Trixie is still a delight.
Yeah.
Well, I like her. I hope that she does well with her country music career.
She had the number one album on iTunes for a day or so.
Yeah, good for her.
Make that coin.
Yeah.
And now we are suddenly... Do you have anything else to say about this episode of Drag Race All-Stars?
Not really.
All right. Yeah, I'm pretty much tapped out. Ben did come back for the finale, but was mostly shown looking at people fondly and not asking questions.
No. So Ben was like, I am not going to participate in the drama. I will say some nice things, but
this,
yeah.
For me, this is like All-Star Season 1. All-Star Season 1 had some format problems and was kind of terrible.
Yeah.
But ended up having Chad Michaels as winner. And nobody's going to say Chad Michaels isn't...
Chad Michaels totally deserves that.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel here. The way we got here isn't ideal, but I don't have a problem with Trixie being a Drag Race champion. Trixie's great and very talented.
Yeah.
And also, people like Shangela and Aja really used this season to, like, perfect their resume.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of who actually won, we all know how good Shangela is now.
Yeah, I felt like... I was really, really disappointed that Shangela was not in the top two. I wanted to see it Shangela versus Trixie.
Yep.
Because I feel like Shangela, she even said it in her interview, since I got off this show, I've been in drag school, and you can tell that she has been studying, paying attention, working super hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actively saying, where are the holes in my game? How can I fix that?
Yeah.
What am I good at? How can I do that even better?
Yeah.
So that takes us out of this season of Drag Race All-Stars. And do you know when the season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race will begin?
Tomorrow?
Very nearly. It is on Thursday.
Oh my goodness. Today is only Saturday.
That is true. So we want to talk about who's in the upcoming season.
But we haven't had time to research it yet.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a little mini episode sometime this week.
Yep.
So it's going to drop.
Yep. Our new episode's going to drop early next week. And we will have watched not just their official intro videos. We go deep. We go searching.
Yeah. We go to the YouTube.
Yep. And we jump to conclusions about people like crazy.
Yeah. And I cannot wait to show those conclusions to which I am hoping
yes.
to jump.
But I think we have caught up now.
All right.
To be honest, I have mostly been watching season 2 of Dragula, which Rias... watched and then told me about, so I am almost done with that.
How are you feeling about season 2 of Dragula?
I think it is great. It's super fun. One really interesting thing about it to me is that people are less in character. Although we never see anybody fully out of makeup, I feel like, there was a time when somebody made a joke and the other person's response was to pretend you're about to punch them. Like, a very masculine pose.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on RuPaul's Drag Race, even when you're not on femme, there's a more feminine mien.
Right.
I've been studying French.
Ooh, but not the pronunciation, just the spelling, I can tell.
Well, that's it for us. Bye. Apparently, even in French, I am
Toast is Lex.